Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Welcome to Maggie and Perloff. It's the end of our debut week. We made it. And this has been a crazy week.
It has been a crazy week. I just want to point out one thing. I did take the Wunderlich. I got a 43 with no practice.
What's the highest you can get?
50. It's out of 50. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick got a 49.
I wouldn't be good on the Wunderlich. I didn't even know. I just assumed it was out of 100.
They just said I had a perfect 50, I think, in the Open.
No, I wrote that. And I just said perfect score.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 50. I had a 43. Just want to put that out there. So people, if anyone didn't like me before, now they really won't like me.
Yeah, this is how to gain friends and influence people, is by bragging about your Wunderlich score. Well, the Wunderlich is actually going to be gone. And that was the inspiration for that Open. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff with you, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. And not only have we made it to the end of the very first debut week of the Maggie and Perloff show, which I would say was transcendent radio for most of the week.
Most of the week? Was there like a few minutes on Wednesday
or
something?
I'm just trying to be humble.
Yeah.
But we've also made it to the end of another NFL season, at least the end of the regular season. Week 18 happens Saturday, two games, and then Sunday, of course. And, you know, the end of the regular season just really got a like a sugar rush here with all this Antonio Brown story. Like, this was quite a way to end the season between that, Aaron Rodgers, and some other stuff. Narrative-wise, story-wise, like, you know, unintentional humor-wise, the end of the season has been gangbusters. Football-wise, though, I don't think anyone really needed this 17 games. You know, I know the NFL is doing it for money, but it just feels like more teams are limping into the playoffs here than really running through the tape, you know, at the end of the season.
When they announced 17 games, I was so excited because, you know, that feeling after the Super Bowl when football's over and it's the weekend and you just feel empty. So I was like, more football.
True.
It's got to be better. But you're right. It's incentivized teams to rest players. It's incentivized guys to sit down. And you're right. There's just not as much juice as there should be. Add in the COVID list and you don't know who's playing or when they're playing. And it's a tough sell, although there are enough good games to really sort of make Saturday and Sunday worth our while.
Well, I mean, you got to be freaking Einstein to go through all these clinching scenarios. But yes, there are. It's like win or tie. And there's a lot, though, that is still up for grabs.
Even with a 43 on my Wunderlich, I cannot recite all 130 playoff clinching scenarios. That's 130. How could that possibly be?
Well, you know, because with the ties, that's how it gets annoying. With a win, a loss, a tie, this, that, the other. What team do you actually have the most confidence in terms of playoff teams that we know are in the playoffs? We can save some of the would-bes, and we'll talk about that throughout the course of the show. But in terms of teams that have already made the playoffs, who do you feel good about?
Right. I feel like you can make the mistake of looking at week 18. I was about to say week 17 and think, oh, they're playing well right now. That will definitely translate to the postseason. We know it doesn't work like that.
Right.
You can lose your last game. But despite last week, despite blowing that lead against the Cincinnati Bengals, the team I feel the best about is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, wow.
First of all, the refs blew that game against the Bengals. There were so many bad calls. Don't even get me started on that. But the Chiefs are running the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense has been much improved except for a few big mistakes against Cincinnati. And Mahomes has settled down. If, you know, they should have won that game. If they'd won that game, I think everybody would agree that the Chiefs are the team to beat right now.
You know, I'll add to your argument there. The Chiefs actually, in terms of strength of quarterback, they have faced the toughest quarterbacks. I know everyone will look to that game against Green Bay that they didn't have to face Aaron Rodgers, but they've actually faced in terms of quarterbacks, the toughest on the schedule. One of the toughest this year. And even though they played a lot of those games tight, they still won 11 games.
Do you worry about the fact that they might not get the number one seed? It might go to the Titans. In fact, I think it probably will go to the Titans. So Chiefs have to play an extra game. Are they snake bitten this year? You know, they started off, we were all jumping off the Patrick Mahomes bandwagon.
Right.
Do you feel less confident than you did last year when they seemed like a total sure thing?
Well, no, because, and correct me if I'm wrong here, even though they wouldn't get the number one seed and the bye, say it's the Titans. The Titans would probably be as good as they have been and they deserve all the flowers, but that's a rather vulnerable playoff team. So if the Chiefs get the 2 seed, wouldn't they still get the home field advantage if the AFC Championship game? Then if the Titans got knocked out, then it would go through Arrowhead. So in theory, you could still get some crazy home games.
Absolutely. So are they everybody's favorite? Are we being totally with the grain here by saying the Chiefs are a dangerous team? This is hardly
it's not just who's the favorite. I mean, the favorite, you'd have to go by seeds probably, but it's just who do you feel best about? And like for me, it's not actually the Chiefs, but weirdly, it's the Patriots. And people will say, Maggie, like, you know, rookie quarterback, whatever. And I know they just hung 50 on the Jacksonville Jaguars. But what makes me really, you know, worried about the Patriots from the rest of the AFC is obviously not just Belichick and all of his brilliance and the tactics. And I'm into the Seth Wickersham book now where Spygate is happening. And I'm just rehashing all through Spygate. And it's like making me angry / impressed. They have the Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris as the two-headed monster running backs. And you know exactly what wins in the postseason, Perloff. It is running the ball and it's defense. Their defense has been really, really good. We know that. The Patriots, this is one of those defense-first kinds of teams. Yep. They're able to run the ball. And Mac Jones, I mean, he's a rookie that doesn't play like a rookie, where they're able to execute all these different types of game plans with him. If he needs to throw the ball at times, he can. Or if they just want to run the ball, he can do that too and get out of the way. There's just, he's not a hindrance here. Can he go out and win you a game? I'm not sure if he's there yet. I don't know if the Patriots are going to need him to do that, though.
Are you sure that this isn't Bill Belichick? It's just imprinted so deeply in your brain, and you're reading this book that you are so scarred from years of being a Buffalo Bills fan. Do we know this is the same Patriots team? I have a lot of friends who are Patriots fans, and they worship Bill. They think he could do no wrong, and they feel exactly like you do. But I feel outside of the Northeast, I'm not sure everybody else has that confidence in them. They've had trouble stopping the run. Jonathan Taylor kind of ran all over them a couple weeks ago.
That's a lot of teams in the postseason.
Yeah, so their defense has been good. And they beat your Bills in a night that doesn't count.
Well,
Mac Jones threw 3 passes, and nobody could catch the ball because it was sub-frigid zero.
I mean, the game counts. Obviously, the game counts, but they had the better game plan. The Bills' defense still played well in that game, but that was just crazy. I think that, you know, when you look at some of the close games that they've lost, though, so they lose a close game, Dallas Cowboys, who were a Super Bowl contender and had not gone into their skid at that point yet. You know, they end up losing a game to the Colts, yes, but who hasn't lost to the Colts? I mean, the Colts have been one of the dangerous teams precisely because of Jonathan Taylor. There's a reason why he got in the MVP conversation. So the Patriots, to me, I mean, they have beaten some really good quarterbacks this year. So I'm not going to count them out in terms of teams that I think could be dangerous or ones I feel like, you know, should be feeling confident. I mean, again, maybe it's because they just hung 50 on Jacksonville.
So who are you worried about? A team that's going into the playoffs that a lot of people probably liked. Is there anyone that you pick out as, I don't know, in trouble already?
Well, the audience, I think, is still getting to know me a little bit. Yeah. And so this is going to seem like I'm doing some kind of reverse jinx or something. But I'm worried about my Buffalo Bills. And if you're out there listening to me, and if you are a team that was on the Bills bandwagon, well, first, welcome. But second, it's gotten a little light on the bandwagon as of late. And one of the reasons why is because when you really start to look deep into the Bills and who they played this year, the Bills have faced the worst collection of opposing quarterbacks since QBR became a stat in 2006. Collectively, this group of quarterbacks that they played were terrible. Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heineke, Davis Mills, Mike White.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is as generic a list as I've ever heard.
Trevor Siemian. These are all your friends. We know you're friends with every mediocre quarterback
in the league.
If Davis
Mills and Mike White walked into the studio right now,
would we know who they are?
Would we know which one was which? We'd have no idea.
So some of they actually went 2-3, the Bills did, against quarterbacks that are, like, fine. You know, they beat Mahomes, but that was when Mahomes was in the bad Mahomes sort of skid. They just beat Matt Ryan and the Falcons. But if you watch that game, They're a Matt Ryan taunting penalty away from maybe losing that game. They lost to Brady. They lost to Wentz. They lost to Tannehill. And I don't even consider Wentz and Tannehill really good quarterbacks.
I don't understand, because the team that I was going to say is struggling is my team,
oh, yeah?
The Philadelphia Eagles. And I thought they faced the worst collection of quarterbacks of all time.
It's a race to the bottom.
Can we have a competition here? So they beat Taylor Heinicke barely last week. Then the week before that, I think it was Mike Glennon with the Giants. Yep. The week before that was Garrett Gilbert with the Washington football team. Zach Wilson with the Jets. Either Fromm or Daniel Jones. I can't remember another Giants quarterback. It's been, they've also had this magic carpet ride of crappy quarterbacks to play against. And now they're a playoff team. And everyone's like, oh, they're running the ball so well. I don't feel that way at all about my home team. I feel like they've been had bad halves. They lost a game to the Giants, who we've now found out are not a competitive team. The Eagles have been able to beat bad teams despite having really, really bad stretches. It's the same exact thing. You just have to look at the schedule right now.
How funny is it that, and maybe I'm just, you know, doing a little revisionist history or prisoner of the moment stuff, but I don't feel good about really any team going into the playoffs.
Is that because
it's hard to feel good? And I can't tell if it's because it's the extra week. Is it COVID?
Is it COVID?
Maybe. I mean,
is it all the injuries?
That'd be a legit reason. I mean, these are all legit.
I think the most popular team right now is the Green Bay Packers.
I do too.
But they have guys coming off injury lists.
That's popular, but sometimes the public, you know, sometimes we're right and sometimes we're really off.
Go back a year ago, everybody liked the Packers. They were the number one seed. Rodgers was the MVP. He was on fire. Doesn't necessarily mean anything. And some of the best regular season Packers teams with Aaron Rodgers, we've seen them just completely not show up in the playoffs.
Yeah, home field or not.
Yeah, the home field, you know, we had Leroy Butler on, former Packer, earlier this week. He's like, this could be different because there's going to be a fan base there. It's going to be cold. Packers have lost in that exact same situation. So it's one of those years, like, to quote Troy Aikman said the other day, the NFC feels jumbled. It doesn't feel like there's a big favorite.
And I would say the same for the AFC. I mean, the only way that this really becomes like a, I guess it was them all along, is if the Chiefs go back to the Super Bowl for the third straight year. But we would know, first of all, how difficult that is to do for anybody. But secondly, like, I would say the Chiefs are kind of in an enviable situation in this way. It's very odd for a team that has won back-to-back conference championships and would be going for their third trip to the Super Bowl, I would think, to have this little amount of pressure on them. Like, when I'm sure they feel it, but like, they don't seem, because of the swoons that they had earlier in the season, they don't seem to me like, oh my gosh, the whole AFC is gunning for the Chiefs and they have this massive target on their back.
Nope.
In a weird way, they're definitely not under the radar. It's Patrick Mahomes, for goodness sakes. But they have found a way to, and I think it is, listen, it's not even like because they're losing. I mean, they won another 11 games and they're probably going to finish with a 12-win season. But somehow they have avoided that spotlight that is burning so hot it has a chance to derail the season.
Maybe it's because our quarterback is a nice, kind of seemingly humble guy.
No, that's nothing to do with it.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is the opposite. He's in the news every week saying something or other. And Patrick Mahomes has been a negative headline. Maybe some people don't like his commercials where he's trying to get a better rate on insurance. I think it's a reflection of their personality, too. We don't view the Chiefs as the big bad guy because they're a bunch of nice guys. Everyone loves Kelsey. Everyone loves Mahomes. Tyreek Hill is a little more complicated, but they're a very likable team. By the way, are our bosses going to say to us, pick a team and make a hard case for them? Is it okay that we're being wishy-washy here?
I don't think it's wishy-washy. I think it's looking at the playoff sort of just picture. And honestly, I couldn't tell if part of this is the 17th game.
Yeah.
You know, I think there is a fallacy maybe of more is always better.
Right.
And listen, are we all going to watch? Yes. Are the ratings going to be through the roof? No doubt. So we're going to prove the NFL right that we have an appetite or that we have room for all of this in our lives. But it was like the one thing that I don't think fans were necessarily asking for, and I don't think it's made the product better.
Right. You know, they had those Tuesday games a few weeks ago? I was like, oh, yes, Tuesday football. It was terrible. I turned on, they were terrible games.
Game.
Yeah, they were just awful games. And so more is not always better. And you're right. I do think, you know, you lose a little bit of buzz, but by next week at the playoffs, we'll be fine. We'll be all in.
Well, and then we will be staunchly picking teams that we love. We're going to stand by them, plant flags, all of that.
Stand by them until they're eliminated. Then we'll stand by a new team.
And then we'll stand by a new team. And then we'll cry a little because if it's Perloff and me, who both don't believe in our own teams that we're fans of.
But are we being that classic fan where we're poo-pooing our own team just to like sort of help them out a little bit?
No, this is not the reverse jinx. This is reality, man. It's biting us right in the you-know-what.
Can I tell you my problem with your team?
What's that?
I had Devin Singletary on my fantasy team. You're running back the Bills. You have to be able to run a little bit. Anyone besides your quarterback has to run at all. How can you come into this season and say, we're going to gear up to beat the Chiefs and not even at any point adjust to any kind of running game?
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned fantasy football because, well, not that I ever want to hear about your fantasy team ever again, but there is something interesting for those of you who do play fantasy and for those of you who find yourself as avid fantasy players. And I know the playoffs are obviously over for this season, but something to keep in mind for next year. But coming up next, Antonio Brown has obviously been the story all week, but is the real drama just getting started in Tampa Bay? I'll tell you what I mean next. It's Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Maggie and Perloff. It's been a big Antonio Brown week, but I thought, Maggie, that we were sort of moving beyond the story.
Oh, no, no. Come on.
I don't know.
Yesterday, you've been doing this too long.
Yesterday was such a bizarre, weird day with the model who had been at the hotel, who shouldn't have been, and all these details.
Spilling the tea.
I thought there was no way that we could like move the story forward anymore, but I guess I was wrong.
Yeah. You underestimated Antonio Brown, his ability to make a headline.
Yeah, what's the latest?
Well, Antonio Brown is really going out with a bang here, and going out from the Bucks, really, because he believes that he's still going to play football after this, and he might not be wrong. He still wants to play football, in fact. So he was on a podcast called the Full Send Podcast. It's with Bob Menery, and they were having a conversation. And I got to say, man, I was right.
You were right.
We had a conversation yesterday about whether or not Tom Brady was really looking out for Antonio Brown's best interest. And I said, hey, maybe a friendship formed organically. But the reason why Brady brought Antonio Brown first to New England and then to Tampa Bay was purely because Brady is singularly focused on football. Singularly focused. He just wants to do anything to win.
That was your take.
That was my take. And Antonio Brown, who I usually never count as an ally, was, and proudly don't count him as an ally, He actually had this to say on that Full Send podcast. He said, to me, a friend is someone who's got your back. Not everybody in sports is going to be your friend. Tom Brady's my friend. Why? Because I'm a good football player. He needs me to play football.
So because Antonio Brown agrees with you, that means you're right?
Well, on this particular one.
So Aaron Rodgers made a big fuss to get Randall Cobb in the offseason. He didn't make Randall Cobb live in his house. I think Brady went way beyond. He could have just told the Bucs to sign him. So you're telling me he did all of that to resuscitate Antonio Brown's career. Really just what the extra mile for him just to get him on the roster. And you're saying when Antonio Brown couldn't play football, all of a sudden the friendship's over. I don't see that at all.
Oh, gosh, Perloff, you're so naive. Brady, the only reason why he brought Antonio Brown anywhere near New England or Tampa was not because of any kind of, you know, loyalty or wanting to have this new, you know, friend of Antonio Brown. He knows Antonio Brown is toxic. He knows it's only a matter of time until this guy probably gets in trouble and something happens and he's on his way. And what did Antonio Brown do? Multiple things that could have and maybe should have gotten him kicked out of the Tampa Bay Bucks ever since he arrived. But the team stayed with him and stayed with him just because he's good at football. This wasn't because of Tom Brady, kindness of his heart. Dude's not Mother Teresa. He just wants to win football games.
He helped him in New England. He got him into New England. Then he picked him up off the trash heap. Nobody wanted Antonio Brown. And Tom Brady, how do we know he's not a nice guy? Why do you assume that this is... Why are you so
negative?
He could
still be a nice guy. It's not about that. It's not about whether or not, you know, he could be charitable. He could be all these things. But the Antonio Brown situation to me with Brady always seems so transparent. That was always, you know... And again, maybe a friendship did form at some point. He did have him stay at his house. But it's not like they're sharing a bathroom together. I mean, Tom Brady lives in a mansion. He probably didn't even see Antonio Brown half that time.
He could have just put him in a courtyard by Marriott around the corner.
The Ramada?
You know, I have a 2-bedroom apartment in New York City. No one stayed in my house. I don't care how good you are for my career. Has this ever happened? I mean, quarterbacks always want to bring in big players, and they don't usually have them stay at their house. Tom Brady has said a lot of the right things. I feel like you're not giving Brady any credit, and you're just sort of saying he'll do anything. Oh, now that I say it out loud, he'll do anything to win, won't he?
Thank you. I think I give Brady a ton of credit always because I think that he, first of all, deserves it, has earned it through his career. But I think I give Brady the credit for doing whatever it takes. I mean, the guy has learned at the feet of Bill Belichick for all those years. There's nothing, you know, that there's not a line. Or the line is blurred, put it that way. I'm sure there is a line, but it's very blurred. And the way that Belichick will always justify it to himself, whether it's, you know, skirting the rules or what have you, he'll always just say, well, any other team would do it if they were smart enough. And he would always think that, you know, playing in that gray area is just kind of par for the course in professional football. And I would say for Brady, not only has he picked that up, but I would also say, listen, this is a race for legacies here between Brady and Belichick. And maybe Brady, you know, he's already passed his hero in Joe Montana in terms of who's the best quarterback. But now it's a race for legacies. It's a race for credit. Egos. We cannot underestimate how big that plays with Belichick and Brady. They both have an intimate knowledge of the sport, history of the sport. It's going to be, now that they're apart, it's who was responsible for what. And we saw this a little with Kobe and Shaq. We see it definitely with the end of the Patriots dynasty, and now both guys trying to stake the claim that they were the guy. If that means bringing in Antonio Brown with all of his character flaws, so be it.
Is Antonio Brown that big a piece of that Super Bowl title?
Well, here's
the thing. I mean, factually, would they have won it without him? Yes, of course they would have.
Well, so he did score in that Super Bowl.
A 31-9 game. Right. It's irrelevant.
I get your point, but I would counter with this. Even though he didn't become such a focal point of the offense, there's no doubt that Brady was trying to just cover his bases, if you will. Let's bring it back Gronkowski. Same thing.
Right.
You're trying to cover your bases. You're trying to go have, you know, just put together and assemble a talented roster because he understands also that injuries are going to play in. Look at what's going on this season. I mean, they lost Chris Godwin. They obviously now don't have Antonio Brown. Leonard Fournette is on IR, but they think they can get him back for the playoffs. Like, Brady's just been at this too long to know that you need contingency plans. And that's, even if Antonio Brown is not a number one receiver anymore, he's still damn good. And I think Brady was looking for contingency plans.
Let me paint an alternative version of events.
Okay.
Let's say Tom Brady did want Antonio Brown. He wanted him because he'd help win football games. Maybe a friendship did form. To believe Antonio Brown today that Tom Brady just completely cut ties with him because he what he did the other day, That's ridiculous. Why are we believing Antonio Brown on anyone? He put out a text yesterday from Alex Guerrero, Tom Brady's guy, saying, look what you Tom Brady's guy did to me. Give me my money back. And Alex Guerrero replied, where can I send the money?
Right.
Antonio Brown was completely
not
in the wrong.
Not exactly the sick burn that Brown was looking for.
These rivalries that Antonio Brown is creating with coaches, with other players, they're in Antonio Brown's head. They're not real. You can't actually blame Tom Brady for anything he did here. This is not about Tom Brady being a mercenary. This is about Antonio Brown creating sort of internal enemies wherever he goes. It's part of his self-destructive pattern. He does this everywhere. He turned on Ben Roethlisberger, who, by the way, now he's like celebrating Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger did more for Antonio Brown than Tom Brady ever could do. Turned on him. He turned on all his coaches after that. He always said, this guy is just using me for my talent. But at a certain point, this is the NFL. Are you telling me that everybody's using everybody for their talent? There are real relationships. And Tom Brady certainly did nothing wrong here. This is all Antonio Brown.
Wait. I've never said Brady did anything wrong.
You're calling him a murderer. Well, here's what Antonio Brown said. He says, not everybody in sport. Okay, we have the cut.
We can hear Antonio Brown in his own words. This is on the Full Send podcast. Go ahead.
Tom is actually my friend, one of my close friends. Some people have a different definition of friend. Because when I say I'm your friend, that means I got your back. To me, though, that's what a friend means. But a friend is not like that in this world and how we live in. Tom Brady's my friend. Why? Because I'm a good football player. He need me to play football, right? These guys called me to win the Super Bowl, not for the toilet bowl. They didn't say, AB, we having problems with the toilet over here in Tampa. You think you could flush the shit down and help us out?
So wait, he started off
that was the first time I was hearing that.
He started off that quote by saying Tom Brady's a true friend. And then he ended up the quote by saying Tom Brady's only my friend.
Because I can help him win the Super Bowl.
Is it possible that Antonio Brown right now is not the most reliable source on who's a friend and who's not a friend?
Wait, now I'm intrigued. Let's play some more sound from Antonio Brown on this podcast. What else you guys got?
Because I thought about Mooney.
This is a very uncomfortable topic.
God. You thought about Mooney?
Bro, I've been working on my glutes all year. I thought about just Mooney him. A big old chocolate ass in MetLife. What would they did if I would have did that?
That would have been funny.
So that was him. He was thinking about mooning the crowd or mooning the Tampa Bay Bucks. Everybody, the crowd.
He's been working on his glutes.
Join the club. Wow. How would the MetLife crowd have reacted to that? Someone might have thrown something. I'm just going to go out on a limb.
Well, I mean, Randy Moss got in trouble for pretending to pull down his pants back in the day to actually do it. That's like something out of a movie. And not that this whole thing isn't out of a movie, but that would have been pretty good.
That would have been. See, that would have gotten you maybe got kicked out of the league, but that could have been close. That's when you get in a call from Goodell. I bet Goodell's not even wading into any of this. He doesn't have to. You moon 80,000 people at MetLife Stadium, you might get a call from the
I can see Commissioner Goodell sitting there in his office. Sorry, the lawyer. So what's our policy again on mooning, public mooning? Do we have a policy on this?
To be fair, like, they have allowed excessive celebrations back in the NFL. I know technically you need to score a touchdown to be able to celebrate like that, I think.
Right.
But you could say I was just like excessively celebrating end of his Bucks career.
Is he going to be the no fun league? Is he going to be the fun police and say Antonio Brown can't take his pants off in front of MetLife Stadium?
Come on, NFL, lighten up.
Yeah, come on, have some fun.
Okay, we have another cut, and this one, this should be good. Someone who doesn't seem like he's really good friends with at this point, slinging mud back and forth with Bruce Arians. Here's Antonio Brown on his former coach.
Like, imagine you playing a game, and the guy that you think got your back, this your team. These the guys that you flew here with to do a mission. They knew about my situation before we even came. I communicated with the coach, the trainers, everyone know.
But is that,
and
is
to
that,
get there and be battling them, and the guy tell you because you can't go to war with them, get the f*** out of here? What do you want me to do? Sit there like, bro, I'm an alpha male. You say f*** me, I'm not going to react, bro, because it don't really matter what you say. Like, you can't affect me. But, like, if you, like, discriminate on my public image and my name, is like, bro, at that point it's f- you too, bro, professionals.
Antonio Brown talking about professionalism is hilarious.
He just said, I'm not going to react if you curse me out, I'm not going to react. Then he says, but if you curse me out, I'm going to react. These quotes are, he says the exact opposite in both of them. He contradicts himself immediately and forcefully in both quotes.
Yeah, so,
and you're proud that backs your point?
I shouldn't be saying I told you so. I'm going to rethink that take. But anyway, that is pretty hilarious. There's another funny, unintentionally funny part of this, which is Antonio Brown saying that, you know, with Bruce Arians telling him to get the bleep out off the sidelines, that's like somehow impeding on his, what do you say, professional, not persona, his image?
Of, yeah, his legacy, kind of.
His, I think he says like professional, like his image, which I don't know. Self-awareness is a really amazing thing.
You're saying that maybe Antonio Brown's image has had faced bigger problems than Bruce Arians.
Sorry, Mike, what did you say? It was
discriminate on my public image.
Right. His public image, which is sterling at this point.
I mean, there's a lot of things that you can discriminate against that are covered in federal and local levels as far as what's illegal and what you can and cannot be discriminated against. I don't know if discriminating against your public image is one of them.
Well, by telling you to leave the sidelines of a football game.
Yes, because it's starting with the fact that you don't want to go out there. So is any of this making you feel like maybe Antonio Brown was in the right a little bit? If you're another team, is there enough there to say, well, maybe there's a gray area and we can sign him?
No. My confidence level in AB is at an all-time low. There was another major unintentionally funny thing that happened yesterday on WFAN in New York. On the Carton and Roberts show, Ava Louise, who claimed to have spent the night with Antonio Brown the night before he had the blow up at MetLife Stadium, actually said that AB told her, "We're really nervous about the Jets." It turns out they needed to be, because Brady had to lead them on a game winning drive in the final seconds to actually beat the Jets. That made me question a lot of things about the Tampa Bay Bucs, whether they're a real Super Bowl contender.
So Ava Louise is going Adam Schefter now and reporting actual football news. Did she have any like breakdowns? What made them nervous? Was it Zach Wilson playing better? Was it the run defense?
She had breakdowns, but it wasn't so much about the game plan.
We actually have a couple cuts of Ava Louise that we were able to just grab.
Let's save them. Let's save them, because okay, we got a bottom of the hour here. I don't want to leave the amazing Rich Ackerman holding. So we've got clips from Ava Louise detailing her night with Antonio Brown coming up in just a moment. CBS Sports Update time. Here's Ackerman.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. It's Maggie and Perloff hanging out with you 41 minutes past the hour. So we mentioned the Antonio Browns taking up a lot of oxygen. Somehow, ridiculously, we thought yesterday, like, man, this story, like, where else could it go? Well, turns out several different places. Number one, it went to the woman who allegedly, well, not allegedly, it was allegedly yesterday. Today, it's faux show. This woman, Ava Louise, spent the night with Antonio Brown before the Bucks played the Jets and before this crazy outburst. And she had some extremely interesting things to say. Now, this audio comes courtesy of WFAN. It was the Carton and Roberts show. And this woman put it all out there. Let's hear cut number two, please, if you will, Stu. Ava Louise talking about the other big storyline involving Antonio Brown. What the heck was going on with that fake vaccine card?
He was just like talking to me about like his fake vax card in COVID. And how COVID, I was like, yeah, I saw your fake vax card scandal. And he was just like, yeah, like the NFL rules for COVID are stupid. Like all the players aren't vaccinated. Like you have no idea. Whoa. None of us care about COVID.
Huh. So did he admitted that he had the fake vax card or?
Yes.
Okay. So this has been one thing that Antonio Brown has always said. You know, you suspended me. You didn't have any evidence. Well, it turns out they were right. Didn't need the evidence. It was a fake vaccine card.
Wait, so
According to her.
According to her, yeah. How much do you think that she sounded reliable?
I listened to the whole interview. She was fascinating for a lot of reasons. She was very convincing. Yeah. And she also had mountains of evidence here. Mm. You know, she did have the text messages. She did have the DMs. And she had a lot of details, like maybe you could say the devil's in the... She had a lot of details about Antonio Brown.
Talking about like intimate details or?
Yeah, well, we decided what we were going to call them frisky details about Antonio Brown and a couple of the things they did. And yeah, that was pretty salacious. But she also had, you know, some interesting details about, she didn't even have to sneak past the Tampa Bay Bucks security. She just walked by a security guard who was on their floor, and then on the way out of Antonio Brown's room after everything had transpired, her clothes were on inside out, and the security guard just laughed as she kind of walked away, you know, as sort of the stride of pride there for
her. Yeah, it's happened to the best of us. Yes. But is it amazing, like, the damage that Antonio Brown calls. So not only has he gotten Tampa Bay in trouble for letting a woman in the hotel, he's gotten the entire NFL Players Association in trouble for guys with fake fax cards.
Well, and you got to
allegedly.
The other part, too, is, and I don't know if we're burying the lead here, use a journalism term, she's also tested positive for COVID.
Right.
So, you know, that's a thing. She thinks that she may have gotten COVID on New Year's Eve. They had this tryst on New Year's Day. And so then AB's around the team. And this is how outbreaks may start.
Do you remember about week 9 of this season when we said, where's Antonio Brown been? He's just been a solid citizen, quiet guy. I thought this was the year that he'd finally settled down. I'm being serious.
Wow.
We hadn't heard before the fake vax card, and Bruce Arians talked about this, he'd been a model citizen all season. I thought he had turned the corner. So I'm not surprised that things went south, but I am surprised every moment that this story continues, how many details come out. And the quotes that are coming out of this most recent sort of podcast, and I think he had a follow-up.
Now he's on Clubhouse, which is like a social media audio app.
And he's still continuing to sort of sell out other people. I feel like the longer he talks, he's come after Bruce Arians. He's come after Tom Brady.
Yep.
He's going to go after all his teammates. It seems like everybody in the NFL. And the one person that he hasn't blamed, unless I missed it, has he said, I did anything wrong here? Has there been any regret?
No. No, goodness, no. I mean, he's the oppressed in this scenario. He's the afflicted because he's saying that, you know, my ankle was so bad and everyone knew it, yet they forced me to go out there, try to force me to go out there and play. What's funny about this, and just a small detail that I don't think indicts him at all on anything, but dude's all over Instagram, his Instagram story. He's with Fabulous. He's with Meek Mill. He's clearly trying to pump up this single that he's now released to the world. So, like, enjoy everybody, Antonio Brown, the rapper. But he's talking about his ankle and seeing these doctors in New York, and these famous doctors are going to operate on him. He's walking around, no boot.
Yeah.
Just shoes.
I mean, I remember a lot of this from Pittsburgh and from the Raiders.
Doesn't look hurt.
When he got in trouble, he pretended nothing was wrong, that he was the happiest guy. Like, I don't know why everyone's making a big deal out of all this. It seems like a defense mechanism. I mean, inside, obviously, this dude's hurting. He just blew his chance to win another Super Bowl. Yeah. He just blew maybe his entire NFL career. I know there's rumors, oh, okay, he's rehashing his image. No, I think there's obviously, I mean, this is no newsflash, there's something wrong with this guy, but this happy-go-lucky Antonio Brown explaining how friendship works, this is a complete defense mechanism. I don't buy a word of it. And the fact that you were sort of bragging that you agreed with him on Tom Brady using him.
Well, isn't this something where when someone says something that you agree with, it reinforces your take, right? I just became a victim there of someone reinforcing what I already thought, which is that Tom Brady was just pretending to be friends with Antonio Brown because he's a good football player.
But you know that Tom Brady's teammates love him. Love him way beyond football.
Meanwhile, I never blame Brady for that. What's interesting now, though, and how this moves a little bit forward. I mean, granted, we'll keep you updated on whatever Antonio Brown says next, of course, but does it just seem like things are kind of stacking in front of Tampa Bay's way here? Is it starting to feel like maybe it's just not their year? You know, it's not just the injuries, and they've been battling those, yet overcoming them as well, because obviously the most important person on the field is Brady, and he's been able to stay healthy on, knock on wood, for the Bucs fans. But it just seems like the Brown story is big, the injury stuff. I mean, Bruce Arians has gotten pulled into this in a way that, you know, coaches is like this sort of public back and forth, you know, doesn't usually happen in the season when you're about to go to the playoffs. Does it feel, Perloff, like just sort of the headwinds are just really in the face of the Tampa Bay Bucks?
Right, like, you know, remember when the Raiders lost that Super Bowl way, way long ago and their center went out missing for 4 days? Yeah. You never want a scandal the day before the Super Bowl or the week coming into the playoffs. But it's health, too. They had a great run of health last year with an older roster. Now there's so many key players who've been in and out. Chris Godwin was just a huge injury. He was the go-to guy for Brady, much more so than Mike Evans or Antonio Brown. I totally know what you're saying. They are probably getting Leonard Fournette back, Lavonte David coming back. The other thing is, it's really a crazy injury year with COVID. So I'm not sure that normally I would agree with you that all the mojo is going against the Bucks, but there's just not a lot of mojo for other teams. So I feel like there's a reset coming, and they're healthy enough, and they have this quarterback. Have you heard about this guy? I know you think he's cruel and selfish and only wants to be your friend so he can win football games, but I made the mistake of betting against Brady last year. So even with all that bad stuff going on, isn't part of you just like, well, you know, Tom Brady's dealt with a lot. He always figures out a way.
Yeah, I mean, yes, they won the world. They won the World Series. They won the Super Bowl the year that he got suspended for Deflategate.
They killed everybody. They won the Super Bowl with Aaron Hernandez on the roster when things were going south. And inside that building, they knew they had a problem.
Yeah.
He's dealt with a million things. So I feel like Brady's unflappable. And we've talked about this all week. I feel like Brady always finds some random target. We saw Scotty Miller last year. We've seen Breshad Perriman. I'm telling you, Tyler Johnson, there's going to be some random dude in the playoffs. And we're going to say, maybe he didn't need Antonio Brown as much as we thought.
If anyone can do it, it will be Brady, who just makes, you know, average receivers look unstoppable. And it's not like they're not playing for something this weekend. You know, we're going to do picks later on in the show, but it is kind of interesting to know, you know, the Bucks are right now the 3 seed. If they win, they'll either stay in that spot or they can get bumped up to the 2 seed. If they lose, there's some scenarios for you. If they lose and the Cardinals lose, the Rams and lose and the Cowboys win, the Bucks would drop down to the 4 seed. The reason why I say that is just there is something on the line for them this weekend. There is something for them to play for, and I'm sure Brady can't wait to get on the field. I mean, the Carolina Panthers are going to be the, you know, it's like take out all your frustrations from Antonio Brown on the Carolina Panthers. And I think it's probably serves them that they have this week 18 game to sort of have the focus go back on the field. You got an easy opponent here with the Panthers who aren't playing for anything and their quarterback situation is a mess and all of that, and try to just, you know, change the focus away from Antonio Brown back onto the field, and then you get ready for the
play. I agree with you. You think there's any chance they come out and they're sloppy or a mess? Because I don't see that as any possibility of Tom Brady letting the offense down. I mean, and the thing, the Panthers, You're underselling how bad they've been the last quarter of the season.
This isn't really about the Panthers. I didn't want them to catch a stray just because, you know, they happen to be playing the Bucks. We know that they are going to be chum.
It's like an inter-squad scrimmage to get ready for the playoffs. And you know how the NFL media reacts. They're going to see the Bucks blow out the Panthers, be like, oh, it's so week to week. They're going to be like, oh, everything's fixed. Forget Antonio Brown. Tom Brady's fine. So,
well, but here's the one part that I'm underestimating. We talked about Antonio Brown. He's newsworthy. If he wants to talk, there's going to be 1,000 microphones that are going to be waiting for him. And if he wants to continue to promote his rap career now that the single has dropped or whatever, and he's claiming that he still wants to play football, he might just keep talking this whole playoff run and be a constant distraction for the Buccaneers.
But you said before, Tom Brady's like, he's a master of turning a distraction into bulletin board material. The Spygate year, they went 16-0. As you're reading Seth Wickersham's book, the Deflategate suspension year, they just destroyed everybody. You know, he seems to do better when things are against him. I don't know why. I feel like Tom Brady needed this. Tom Brady, you know, he didn't need this. He always has a chip on his shoulder. Doesn't matter how many Super Bowl he wins. He's still the guy who lost his starting job for a week to Drew Henson. He's always angry. He's always mad. You saw him after losses this year. He was as grumpy as I've ever seen Tom Brady. Even though he's got all these feel-good ads out there, I feel like they're just making Brady mad. You're right. The injuries are obviously a big concern, but I'm just not worried about AB not being there. I don't feel like this is solely a football story.
Well,
at this point,
it's
just a circus that's outside of what's going to happen on the field.
Yes. So there is going to be one other piece of this puzzle that's going to come out at some point.
Wait, by the way, I have no idea what you're going to say right now because some of the pieces of the puzzle are so weird. Yes. Is this some sort of Instagram model thing kind of puzzle?
So yesterday, as I mentioned, when Ava Louise is doing her interview with Carden Roberts on WFAN, she mentioned this small detail. They filmed whatever they were doing at Antonio Brown's request. Now, she's OnlyFans, right? She's got her OnlyFans site. She wants to get up that subscriber number. Listen, it's the day and age that we live in, right? You want to get the biggest social media following you possibly can. But it was his idea to film what they were doing in the hotel room. So she's in possession of that film. This is a woman who's trying to, by her own admission, maximize this thing to the most eyeballs that it could possibly on. She's just looking for attention. She, to her credit, she's out there about this. She is not, you know, pretending to be anything that she is not. She is out there. She is saying, I'm doing this for publicity. She's trying to get fame and clout. Like, in some ways, her just being that open about it, it almost makes it seem more believable. But she's got the video of the two of them. When she decides to release it is up to her.
So what's the perfect time? Right before the playoff game? What's the most eyeballs? During the Super Bowl?
Well,
halftime of the Super Bowl?
That's what Carden had suggested, 6 o'clock the day of the Super Bowl. I don't know if I'd maybe disagree, because once the game kicks off, that might be the end of your story. How do you, you know, then the news cycle, you're not going to compete with the Super Bowl for the news cycle. So the next day, nobody's going to want to talk about it. I'm thinking Thursday before the Super Bowl, you got all the media will have been descended on Los Angeles. Everyone's together. This is the time, maximum eyeballs.
Well, I remember Laramie Tunsil with the face mask bong 5 minutes before the draft. That worked.
That did work.
I don't know. I don't know what it worked for exactly.
Yes, didn't work for him.
Not much.
That was a shame. All right. Well, we got a lot done there. Will Brinson is going to join us next. CBS Sports senior NFL writer gets his thoughts on AB and so much more. It's Maggie and Perloff right here on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.